Generation X. Justin and Bradley are back on the Gen X Reverb podcast here, and we're just setting up. But as you guys know, we don't get paid to do this, so it's going to be a little bit unpolished. And that's okay. You guys are used to it. Did you miss us? We missed you guys, the honorary cousins of Gen X Reverb. Today is August 24th, Thursday. It's 8:42 p.m. here in Phoenix, so I guess California's... Am I going to open up that can of worms, Bradley? California's still on 8:42 p.m.?
Yeah, we're still here.
You're golden.
With can of worms.
The can of worms of daylight savings time. Anyway, man, let's pack that can of worms back in there. Get back in there, can of worms. Okay, so before we started casting, man, let's do some maintenance and cleanup for the podcast here. We have been on hiatus. We have been, I think this is the busiest we've ever been as four husbands and dads, four husbands, three dads total. And so we got a lot going on, but we still love to podcast and we want you guys to have a better day because of our podcast. So we hope we can lighten your spirits, lift you up, make you feel better despite all the atrocities that are occurring throughout the globe. So Bradley. You ever been to Trader Joe's before?
Never. What is that place? Yeah.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah, Trader Joe's, man. Okay, so first of all, we went there today. Trader Joe's, shout out. We don't have sponsors on this podcast. You guys already know that. We just tell it like it is. We love stuff or we don't like it.
TraderJoe's.com/GenXReverb.
There you go. But Trader Joe's, man, I got to say, I don't think I'm ever let down by Trader Joe's with their specialty frozen foods, which are processed. I'm trying to stay away from processed foods, but they're so good. And I'll give you an example. We had some Ethiopian, I don't even know what they're called, man, fondulis or domadas or little triangle things, Ethiopian things. And some veggie patches, like some veggie French fry. Already crispy, you just pop them in the oven, and they're super crispy when you get ready to eat them.
Right.
So yeah. We ate some of those with some of this marvelous Trader Joe's spicy mango chutney. Delicious.
Divine.
If you guys have a Trader Joe's nearby, I mean, again, no affiliation. Just go. Out of the two, Sprouts and Trader Joe's, I love Sprouts. Don't get it twisted, right? Bradley, you got Sprouts right down the street from your house.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep.
I love Sprouts. I love their deli. Both of them have great points, right? So Trader Joe's has that on point. I haven't been drinking any of the Spotchka lately. So I've been probably about a month and a half into no Spotchka. But if you're still drinking Spotchka out there in listener land, man, Trader Joe's, I kid you not, you can go get a six pack of decent tasting beer for $1 per beer. You can get one for $6, a six pack for $6 at the very minimum. And then they go up to like $5 per. Have you ever seen that, Brad?
The beer?
Yeah, the mix and match beer at Trader Joe's.
It's been a while. I haven't drank in years.
Yeah, so Bradley is a teetotaler, and that's good, man. Bradley gets good sleep. He can exercise.
Hate that word, by the way,
that word is so.
My name is Seamus McFly, and I'm a teetotaler. Hey, Martin, or not Martin. Hey,
that is there. What he calls him, Martin.
No, he called him Mr. Eastwood.
Mr. Eastwood, not Eastwood.
Hey, Eastwood. Mr. Eastwood.
Nope, Eastwood.
Aced.
Yeah, Aced.
Whatever. Here, I just want to give my two cents on Sprouts. Sprouts is good, man. It's just overpriced. Sorry, that you already knew I was going there. I don't ever go to.
What's good about it though? Let's get what's good about it.
The produce. produce is fresh, you can get organic, and I'm done at that point. Everything else is just ridiculously overpriced.
So the produce, which specific fruit or vegetable are you always putting inside your cart, Brad?
Greens, man. So I'm going to get your kales, your spinaches, greens, and, you know, and just different stuff, you know, arugula, radishes, ginger.
Oh, yeah, ginger. The Melissa's ginger. Melissa's brand, the big old bucket of ginger. Is that what you get?
Yeah, that little $6.99 bucket of organic ginger. Yeah,
it's huge. Yeah. It's huge, folks. Sprouts. See here, we don't have loyalties here.
Sprouts. It's huge, folks. Why don't you go ahead and get in there?
Eat healthy.
$6.99 this week.
Eat healthy and drink beer if that's what you do. Drink it. It's there, but just, you know, stay hydrated.
So your point, though, is that you guys had a good dinner.
Oh, it was terrific. It was terrific. And I do want to add this point. It's funny, man. Trader Joe's is not cheap. I think
no.
Other than they reel me in. They used to reel me in so much by the, you know, $6 six pack. Outside of that, man, they're gonna get you on those veggies and fruits, man, and ice creams and all that good stuff. The meats, the no sugar bacon and all that stuff. They have, here's what's a cool thing, guys, and we're going to move on to what we're going to podcast about here pretty soon here. But I do want to say at Trader Joe's, they have the coolest thing, and actually I'll go ahead and just use the word cute, the cutest thing. They have little red Trader Joe's carts. They're little and they're small, and your kid can go get it. And literally, we did not get a big basket. We let Galilee, my youngest, get the small basket, and we put everything in there. She pushed it around Trader Joe's, so it was super cute.
Okay, that's where this was coming from. Okay, so good dad-daughter bonding. Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, man.
No, that's awesome.
Summing up my day and my feelings.
Just to see where you were going, yeah, because you began your episode, you began your story there. Yeah, I get it, man.
There you go.
By the way, I absolutely abhor Costco shopping cart sizes, but it's a necessity because everything they have is super huge, I guess. But yeah, shopping at Costco is a nightmare for that. I think that one reason, the exact opposite of the tiny cart that Galilee was pushing around, is you have people that are just a little bigger than Galilee, these little 4 foot two people. Pushing these ginormous carts around, and that's no knock against you if you're short from my perspective.
Right. You're just saying like these big sand crawler shopping carts,
sand crawler size shopping carts being pushed by Jawas, man, and they can't steer them. They can't steer them. That's the problem. It's like, come on, and people don't want to be on the left or the right, and people are passive aggressive because they're so used to getting bullied by everybody else. So then they bully you. I don't think I need to say too much more. I think everybody gets that, man.
You know, so I got to say it though, man. You know, I got to say it.
Stay on target.
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
You filthy Jawas. I had to say that, man.
Filthy Jawas. You need to show some more respect for Jawas. You got to be like Quill. Quill had a healthy respect and regard for Jawas, and he taught that to Mando. No, they're not stealing. They don't steal, bro. They take. They utilize.
Yeah, they take. Yeah.
They're going to give that back to you, okay? You just got to go and risk your life for their entertainment, and then you can get your parts back. They're going to
dismantle your... Not only do they take, they will make fun of how you smell when they roll up on you and try to sell you something.
You're exactly...
Obi-Wan, right?
That was, man. Oh, Obi-Wan. That was a reference to Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Obi-Wan reference. But yeah, Costco, we can't leave that subject for a second. I know we're going to podcast about something else, but we just can't leave that because that's low-hanging fruit, Costco. What else did you have to say about the basket? Because I have something to say about Costco, Brad.
I didn't have anything else to say about those baskets. I think it's pretty self-explanatory that they're ginormous, and we're already all super busy and stressed out from our regular day. People are, they're ready to explode, man, and walking through Costco, you could see that. You can see all the passive aggressive people, the way they push their carts, they put them right where you can't go by. And you're sitting there thinking, you know, I can't read their mind. But if I had to guess, man, this lady is like really trying to just press my buttons and I'm not going to let her. And maybe she's not. But it just happens person after person after person. And I don't think I'm wrong. There's just way too many people inside Costco. And again, you live in Phoenix. I live in California. California is packed full of humans, man.
So it's is like Phoenix, by the way. Just so you know, Phoenix is packed too. Anyway, we talk about that so often on this podcast, but yeah.
They're actually for overcrowding. So yeah, go well, whatever, man. I'm done with Costco. No. What were you going
to
say?
I just wanted to say that it's hilarious, man. Me and my kids walked in the other day and I taught them something. We walk in.
I taught them the lesson of graciousness. Sorry, go ahead.
Out of all the bad habits I give my kids, I taught them one wonderful thing. That's it for this year. Let's see. So we walk in and we pass the carts. My oldest goes, that cart. My youngest was like, yeah. She was like, huh? I was like, nope, watch this. So we roll up in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I start piling stuff into my arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I can only fit so much stuff into my arms. I get to the register, man, and I'm way under $100, man. Way under. Mm-hmm. And I said, see, if you come up in here with a basket, you're gonna be at like minimum $250.
Oh, that's okay. I thought you were going with you're gonna have a trail of Galilee and Avon carrying more stuff for you. So yeah, no, you kept it arm, whatever you can carry out, that's all you're gonna buy.
That's it. Because Costco will have you thinking that you need to fill up that entire cart. And that you just need that charcoal, the charcoal briquettes over there. You just need them. And the sprinkler system. It's like, bro, you didn't come in here for a sprinkler system. Anyway, gotcha. You already regular listeners. If we have any more listeners, we hope that some of you are still out there. But you already know me and Bradley. That's how we think. So anyway, Brad, we're excited. We're ready for some. Go ahead, Brad. What were you going to say, man?
Yeah, let's just jump in. Let's don't. Mince words. Let's keep it simple. Let's dignify our listeners. They already know that Ahsoka came out, and that's what we're going to talk about. Me and Justin are just going to hot take about Ahsoka. And I think your reference to Obi-Wan being made fun of by the Jawas was a great reference because the connection from that show to this one is that I didn't like it that much.
Is that so?
This is way better than Obi-Wan. So, yeah, I'll give him that. I thought it was well done. Let's just get that out there. I didn't like the show that much, but let's be kind. If I could just, for the sake of time, man, let's just hot take on this. Man.
Okay.
Let's jump in with some hot.
I think I have some things that I feel that most of the listeners are going to be surprised to hear me say. Justin here.
You want me to go? I thought.
Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, are you sure? Because I don't understand. I mean, what did you interrupt me for?
I didn't think I was interrupting you, man. That's just twin powers getting interjangled and messed up, man. There you go.
I'm like, okay. What's I? Anyway, so here goes the good. So if you're just tuning in right now, listeners, this podcast is a hot take on Ahsoka, the new TV show on Disney+.
Episodes 1 and 2, to be clear.
Episodes 1 and 2. It just came out today, like Justin said, is August 24th. So we're going to talk about that. We really enjoy the episodes. I think in total, if I can make that assumption for you, Tracy, my wife, definitely says she enjoyed them. I have so here's the good. I thought that the computer generated imagery. I thought that was really well done for the most part. Spoilers ahead, by the way. If you're listening and you haven't watched these episodes, then just stop listening right now. Okay. All right. Bye. Now, Lothcat, computer generated Lothcat, ding, 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 robotic animatronic Lothcat, man, you guys make billions of dollars. You couldn't have made that look better. It looked dumb, all furry. But anyway, CGI was really good. Okay. And then here goes some more good, I thought the Jedis or the Jedi like people who were not necessarily Sith. I thought that was a nice addition to the show. Now, again, if you listen to this podcast, you're going to constantly hear me and Justin and Kenny and Mark talk about Kathleen Kennedy and the social justice warriors trying to get more feminist, agendas going on. Whatever. Nobody cares. I do appreciate that there are female leads here. Ahsoka Tano, played by Rosario Dawson, and then the new Jedi that came in at the very beginning scene. Her, and then also, what's her face? Sabine Wren. So she's in it. That's cool. That's nice. Lots of writing. Oh, and don't forget somebody who I know you're going to dismantle because you were about to do it in the chat earlier. What's her face? You could go ahead and help me out.
No. I'm going to probably surprise you. So I'm not even going to say anything.
Okay. So that was good. They have lots of women. Okay. Mistake that George Lucas made in the original Star Wars, you know, just one woman out of all these men. Here we've reversed it, and sometimes it feels a little too contrived.
Yeah.
It just feels like we're hitting numbers. Okay, we need four. We need five more. It's just like, where's the story, though, bro? But anyway, it was a good story. Just don't write it with an agenda in view is all I'm asking. That was good, though. Those are the good things that I have to say. The story was good as well.
Wait a minute. You set up some negative things, too. What were the good things? Sorry about that. I was a little confused.
Go ahead. CGI was good.
CGI.
Lothcat. The live action Lothcat is what I hated. Sorry, so I totally digress. But CGI was spectacular throughout. Specifically in the second episode when the... what is her name? Hera Syndulli. When she's taken off with Chopper and that ship is shooting back at her, that shot of her getting shot at from Ahsoka's perspective was really well done. I was like, wow. That
super
is
excellent
graphics.
Scene. Very beautiful scene.
So one, CGI is great. Two, adding Jedis to the mix, great. Three, it's nice to see female leads. You know, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing. We want that. Here's the bad. My biggest complaint about this show. Star Wars Rebels as a show was bad. It wasn't even entertaining. It was messy. Lothcats. Those were nice. Those were actually pretty cool. But the wolves being connected to the Force, the Jedi temples on side Lothal, excuse me. Ezra Bridger's moaning and crying and whining constantly.
Oh, my goodness. Let me help you with that because I 100% agree. And I looked at some forums online and people actually love his character. Oh, he is.
That's probably because they're moaners and whiners too, but go ahead.
Yeah. No. It's like, dude, you can't complain that much, man. You got to stop. Like, bro, I'm going to saber you. Like,
man up. Jedi up.
Yes. And that's what I don't understand, why people are not annoyed with his character. But they obviously see something that I don't see, because unlike you, Bradley, I didn't get past the temple that Darth Vader and Darth Maul and Ahsoka all met at in that show.
By the way. Best episodes. Yeah, the Maul episodes are the best episodes.
I ended it after Maul because 1,000% Maul is like the best character in that whole show. Aside from Ahsoka, which I love her as the CGI Ahsoka. But carry on though about this Ezra Bridger clown.
So not just necessarily Ezra Bridger, but he's a big part of why that show. If kids like it, I get it. It's a generational thing. I don't think Gen X really likes the whiny type of hero. Although here we are, you know, power conveyors, Tosche Station, Luke, whatever, contradicted myself probably. But Ezra was just too much. We didn't get an entire four seasons of Luke Skywalker whining about power conveyors.
I was going to say, hold up. Luke was not that in the next movie.
Right. He manned up quick, man.
Yeah.
We had to sift through all of that to get to the Maul episodes. But anyway, it wasn't just Ezra Bridger that made Rebels so terrible. Chopper, voiced by Dave Filoni with the wah, 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 wah. That was annoying to have to endure that for the whole four seasons. Like, shut him up already. I'm tired of this astromech. Get a regular R2 sound. Mm-hmm. And then with episode 2 of Ahsoka, when he was introduced, I was just like, And Tracy was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, there you go. You're proving a point for me. So let me be objective. Yes, you have no idea about Star Wars Rebels. So you're coming in with a clean palette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
she sure
tired
is.
Of that droid. Get him out of here. Shut him up.
I'm on record on this podcast saying how I don't like him the most out of all droids. He's the worst droid they have. However, I can see, though, because remember, we want to definitely think about what Rebels is aimed for. Star Wars is not going for our demographic. They're absolutely aiming at young people with Rebels.
Rebels for sure was 15-year-olds. Disney XD.
Yeah. 15-year-olds and 21-year-olds. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there you go. That was the demographic they were aiming for. It was a kiddie show, and that's okay. There's no problem with that. My problem is this. Again, I'm not blaming it on Dave Filoni. I think he's a good writer, and he really respects George Lucas's source material, but not really though. Get the Loth Wolves out of here, dude.
Loth Wolves? Wolves?
Yeah.
When you get bro, to season, I need to see them.
No, you don't. It's dumb. They connect Ezra Bridger to the Force, and now, as you learned when you watched the first two episodes of this, now him and Blueface are in another galaxy that they had the, in
the guy that only Thrawn. Book readers care about.
Thrawn.
Yeah, the guy that only book readers care about. That guy.
Yeah, I thought he was a pretty good character. I thought Thrawn and where's he
from? I don't know. I haven't seen him yet.
You mean outside of Rebels?
No. Oh, I didn't finish watching Rebels. There you go. Done here. I didn't watch that. I couldn't stand it.
He figured prominently in the Rebels, and I think his voice acting was done very well, as well as the Inquisitor as well. So great. That was great stuff that they brought. They just did it in a very cheesy, cool lady, cheesy kitty way.
The show, the Rebels TV show.
The Rebels TV show was absolutely just overly done, too much. Okay, you guys could have did this in one season, honestly, or even two. They did it in four, bro. Anyway, the lore just got too sticky and complicated, just way overdone, man.
That makes sense. Tying it back into the first two episodes of Ahsoka, you having watched those shows, you're like, no. You guys don't have to make a callback to every single thing.
You nailed it. This is the most glaring problem for me is no, guys, please. I thought we capped Rebels off and we were never going to visit this again because this story does not need to be told. It really doesn't. Lothal is dumb and these wolves are dumb, even though they're connected to the Force.
They sound so cool, though. I'm glad I haven't seen them.
It's stupid, Justin. Let me not. You watch it if you feel like it.
I'm not going to do that.
Stop.
I gave up on that show.
Stop. Like, look, George Lucas went back and did the midichlorians, right? And everybody was like, bro, stop explaining the Force. It's better when you say less to the listeners. Just tell us that this is the Force, okay? Mm-hmm. We're done here. Midichlorians.
Dave Filoni opened it up even more as we get to the very last season. What used to be the last season of Clone Wars season 6, where Yoda went to go visit the...
Bingo. Yeah.
He opened it up even more. It's a little more complicated, but you know what? Most people do not even have the stomach to sit through that. They're just going to turn it right off. Who cares?
Who are we appealing to? And here's the thing. Per the norm, my wife is super intelligent. She just says, dude, it's about money. She said, they care about is if they make money. And I'm like, yeah, thank you for the reminder. I appreciate that because this is really making me mad right now. I do not care about Ezra Bridger. But you know who does, though? I think the next generation, Gen Z.
Oh, 100%. No, they absolutely do.
They're nailing it. And that is one of the biggest glaring things I don't like. Again, hearkening back to some of the complaints that we made, second bad that I give it is Rosario Dawson's casting. At work today, I was watching season 7 of Clone Wars, and Ahsoka just looked dope, man. When she jumped off
the Imperial cruiser, the very last one, yeah, on episode 7, went with Rex.
Yeah, with Rex, and Rex goes, "Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't bring a jetpack for you." She goes, "I don't need that." And
that was by far the dopest Star Wars, Clone Wars cartoon. If you guys seen that episode of Clone Wars, which is the final episode of season seven.
No, it was a second to final episode.
Second to final episode. If you have not seen that episode and you're holding all these other little Ezra Bridgers and stuff on high, please go check that episode out so you can. You may not change your opinion, but that episode is definitely worth your time.
Yeah, and disclaimer for the audience. I mean, I hope you guys are all well aware. These are just our opinions,
want
you to continue to like Ezra Bridger and Sabine Wren and Zeb and Caleb. We want you to like all these characters from Rebels if you like them. But
and not only that, there you put but I put a and. We hope you have a son just like Ezra Bridger. There you go. Keep going, Brad.
We hope you have a whiny, complainy son, dude. Let me try to wrap this up. What I'm saying is I like Rosario Dawson as an actress. She's too broody. You nailed it earlier. I think I'm still in your thunder here. Her voice is just Ashley Eckstein, I think, does Ahsoka's voice on the Clone Wars. Man, come on.
And when you say earlier, I just want to make sure not on this episode, but like many moons ago. I didn't talk about that today.
But no, you talked about Soprano versus
oh, you're talking about in our text messages. Got you.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson's voice is just way too deep compared to what we've been geared to by Dave Filoni's animated Ahsoka. She doesn't even look like Ahsoka. She just has the race of Ahsoka. We've already nailed that before on different podcasts, but that resonates with me. It's annoying that they didn't pick an actress who looks more like the animated version of Ahsoka. That to me is glaring. And again, this medium does not do justice to the, you took us all the way up to the zenith of Ahsoka with Star Wars, Clone Wars, the final season. And then you're bringing us down to live action with a human. And it's just like, this is cool. It's nice. And I appreciate it. But nah, man, the animators who animated Ahsoka, they animated her facial expressions way more
angry, calm, very on target. Remember when Anakin tried to actually see how she was doing? Ahsoka was like, please, back up. We got things to attend to. Remember
that? On that final episode, right?
The final episode.
Yeah. Like, man, she was still all about business.
Yes, yeah, business time. You get your feelings out of here, man. It's time
Whereas
to go.
Rosario Dawson, here's my point. This is something, Rosario Dawson seems like she's sedated. Like she accidentally injected herself with a drug and she's trying to wake up. She's not Ahsoka. It's like, wake up, you know, she's trying to meditate and I think she's trying to be a Jedi. And it's just like, you're a good Jedi, but that's not Ahsoka. You're somebody else. And I don't think you know the Ahsoka character. And that's probably hurtful to her as an actress, but she just doesn't have it, man. But it's not just her. It's the live action at all. And that brings me to my, that's really all I'm trying to say. If I could say in as few words as possible, get out of Star Wars Rebels. Please can that off. Don't ever go back to Lothal. I'm sick of it. Oh, last bad. Rebelling for no reason. I don't even know why I'm a rebel. Sabine Wren, in a nutshell, that's what she did in that first episode. Just driving off back to show us, okay, hey, we can CGI and live action combined what you've been used to seeing in Star Wars Rebels, the TV show, guys. Huh? Look at this highway that we've driven down.
The same one that is in the show. It's like exactly the same one. Now, not to be too negative here, Justin, I'm really trying to keep a nice, even way of thinking about this entire show. That didn't please me. The rebelness of her, and then the rock
there was
music,
no why.
The Star Wars rock music.
Oh, I'm just
like,
rock and
no,
roll out of here.
But it's okay. I'm okay with it. Just let's get past this scene. That was okay, squeamish for me. And then here's the thing. Can I say something positive about that scene?
After I say something negative, because you need to bring us back up.
Go ahead. Punch it,
Sabine Wren. You merely were given that dumb emotion, that your dumb motivation, which really, when you think about it, if she's intelligent, why are you running from that speech? Just so that scene can happen. Dumb.
Right. When you work backwards as a writer, you're like, wait, why did we do this? Just because of that? It's like, okay.
So we can make this scene happen. And as I'm watching it, and that scene was overly long, I was saying to Tracy,
what scene? Because I think I fell asleep on the first episode. Sorry, listeners. You can't take us seriously. You can't take me seriously.
This is when Clancy Brown, who plays Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob, he's also the mayor of the city.
Oh, that is Clancy Brown. That's right.
He also voices himself on the actual Rebels cartoon. He's the mayor of the city. He plays himself in live action. I thought that was a good, cool shout out, a good Easter egg.
Unlike Ashley Eckstein, by the way, not that Rosario Dawson shouldn't be Ahsoka, but I just do want to point out that he is still the same person. And it just worked out that way. It looks like here on Wikipedia, Lars Dittmann Mikkelsen, who plays the blue guy. What's the blue guy's name?
Thrawn. Yeah.
He plays him in the cartoon. He will actually be the live action actor. So that's got a sting, at least
for Ashley Eckstein.
Yeah, for Ashley Eckstein. It has to sting. But I mean, that's just the way it falls. I have some opinions, but I still want to keep talking about that. Her rolling down. What else did you find that was ridiculous about it?
This this is it. I'm just really trying to paint it for you since you fell asleep, and you rightfully so fell asleep.
It was a boring episode, and I know it was a boring episode.
That whole part, it felt like 5 to 10 minutes of her just racing down that street to get away from the two pilots who were sent to go tell her to come back and give this speech. And it was just like, okay, so you're telling little girls to rebel, mm-hmm. and they don't really have a reason to, but just do it because they don't feel like following through with the commitment that they made, because all of a sudden I feel bad today because Ezra Bridger's not here.
That's actually precisely the message it sends. Somebody may take umbrage with that thought, but that's exactly what it's saying.
So I'm done.
What reason would, okay. Anyway, yeah, no, I personally thought that scene was, it wasn't my favorite. I wish Lothal looked better. It's like, dude, you guys need to grow some green trees and some cherries, and this place is bland. This freeway, why is there nobody on it? It's just
her. Why is there nobody on this dumb freeway?
Yeah. But that's whatever. Do your thing. I don't care. But by the way, that's not important to the story.
It's not important to the story. By the way, just before I forget, and then I'll be quiet, but I just have to say this. You mentioned it. You made it come to my mind. Mm-hmm. That's funding. Star Wars Rebels, that's just really lazy for them to say, hey, let's make this really barren landscape because we don't really have the money or the time to populate it with actual things. So here you go. This is a simple way so that we can slop out 4 seasons mm-hmm. of super cheesy kid fun,
yeah.
Which I think the writing was great in a lot of those episodes, and I'm digressing again, but yeah, there you go. Now we have it in live action. And it's just like, hey, this is Tatooine, but with a building in the middle. All right, here we go. And some Lothcats.
Yeah, Lothcats. I'm glad they're alien-like. I'm glad their feet look different. I'm glad their faces look different, like all kinds of anime. So they wouldn't be Star Wars-y if they didn't look different. So that's good. I don't know if I have too much of a problem with their CGI or their live action, because you just can't win on that stuff. You just can't. There's so many guys in the British side that are Dark Crystal, Jim Henson, you know, the mm-hmm. old, they're not going to let that art die. The live action, Grogu, Grogu's wonderful, by the way, his animatronics is wonderful, but I'm just saying they're never going to let that art die, because if they let it die, then, you know, the robotronics and the puppetry of it all.
That whole industry goes, right?
Yeah, industry goes. And it's like, so I applaud them for that. I really wish in the latest episode, the second episode, and this is being too picky, by the way, and I really don't care, just so you listeners know, I don't really care. It's like the Lothcat was standing there next to Ahsoka in the second episode when Ahsoka visited the tower. And he was standing there, and it's like, okay, he's not moving, though. It's like, Justin, because he's a puppet, you dummy. And mm-hmm. I'm like, no, but cats move, though. They don't stand still. They move. Yeah. And so it's like, don't be so married to an idea that you can't say, CG guys, handle that. Move that cat.
That's what happened with Jurassic Park.
Yeah. And guess who was behind that gem? None other than Kathleen Kennedy. So I'm trying. That's the thing. I hope you listeners can detect. I'm trying to give props. I'm not trying to bash Kathleen and everybody. I'm trying to figure out. And I want to read to you guys something that, Bradley, you'll like this, because this is from a podcast that you recommended to me probably a couple of years ago, maybe right before pandemic or after. It's called Hidden Brain podcast, affiliated with NPR, but it doesn't matter. Hiddenbrain.org. Go there. It's the latest episode. U2.0 Slow Down. That's the name of the episode. Everybody go take a listen to it. Again, no affiliation. We just tell people what's good to listen to and what's good to check out. If you take a listen to that episode, I'll just read the synopsis and let it go from there.
Synopsis.
It says, it's understandable that we sometimes dwell on the things that upset us, but sometimes our negative emotions can keep us from savoring the good things in our lives. This week, we continue our 2.0 series with psychologist Fred Bryant. So check him out, Fred Bryant, a very humble scientist, psychologist. I'm like, man, this guy, he's learned some things. He discusses the benefits of savoring and how we can turn even the smallest moments into an opportunity for pleasure. I listened to that episode of that podcast accidentally and then fell into Ahsoka. And my brain said, you know what? Take this in as a whole, bro. Take it in as a whole. Let's not dissect just yet. Let's just see what this show has to offer. So Ahsoka's little worm squiggly things on her head. Just don't pay attention to that. Hera and her not looking exactly like the cartoon. Don't pay attention to that. What looks good? Oh, woo! The backgrounds are that. Whoa, they're dynamic. They're blowing Obi-Wan out the water with these graphics. It does not look like it's made for TV. It does look like it's made for TV a little bit, but Star Wars, the studio is coming along. Like, Obi-Wan was a project that has boosted this show even higher. And The Mandalorian has boosted this show. I mean, am I wrong about the graphics and everything in the background, all the detail and everything?
No, and I actually want to say how I feel like we need to say boosted another time, because boosters help you get out of the atmosphere into the next planet with boost.
Rocket boosters. Let's give a shout out, man. So at the end of first episode, it says in memory of our friend Ray. And so did you check that out, Bradley? Did you figure that out?
I don't know. I must have been irritated from the show, because I actually waved my hand at the TV like, I hate it when they do that. I don't know who this guy is.
Okay. So
who was it?
He's the guy that you really like, man. The one that was like, whoa, who is this? That's Ray, Bradley. The Jedi that walks onto the ship at the very beginning with his apprentice.
Oh, yeah, Stevenson.
Yeah, he died.
From Thor.
And we already gave you guys a spoiler alert. So if you heard this and you didn't need to hear this, sorry, I apologize.
Bad, bro. Yeah, I actually, sorry to take your, I just want to just give you the live visceral reaction. I told Tracy last night, I said, I like this guy. I like this guy as an actor. He's got that thing. He's got it.
Bradley.
Looked him up.
I said the same thing when he came onto the screen. Oh. I was like, who is this guy? Where has he been?
And her too. What's her name? Jedi with the blonde hair.
Save her. I got her, man. Go ahead. Okay. You talk about Ray Stevenson and his character's name is the Jedi character that he plays. Man, this is sad, man.
His name is Baylan.
Baylan
Skoll.
And that's cool, because it's like almost like a little bit of a call out to Galen Erso. Galen. So that's kind of cool. But tell me what you liked about Baylan's character.
He just was mature. He just was calm. He was not a Jedi, but he also was not a Sith. He made that clear, not with his words, but with his actions. I think at the beginning of the episode, he probably just would have walked in and freed Elsbeth, whatever her name is. He just would have freed her and not killed anybody. But because they attacked him, he was like, all right. So he's in the middle. He's a gray Jedi, I guess, or whatever they call him. And then
I agree. He is a gray Jedi. And how do you figure that?
Because he's not Sith. He used to be part of the Jedi Order. He talked positively about the wording, the scripting. I can't remember the exact
The very end of episode two, the very last part, it would be a shame. I think I wrote it down, man. I tried not to write stuff down, because then you're not really living in the entire show. Her presence in the Force is elusive, he said. And that was nice, because that was a callback to Obi-Wan, right?
Word elusive. I think it was a callback to episode one.
Yeah, Obi-Wan said that, right?
Elusive. Yes. Elusive. Else what, Master?
Referring to Darth Maul, I think, right?
I don't know. I think it was referring to just the plot, to the Darth Sidious. You're talking about episode one, when they get on the droid Federation ship, and he says, I have a bad feeling about this, Master. And he goes...
Elusive is in there somewhere. It's a buzzword. Yeah, yeah. It's in that episode, for sure. But anyway, he says...
Elusive, yeah.
Not Galen, but what is it? Naylan?
Baylan's
referring to Ahsoka. Her presence in the Force is elusive. And then he goes on to say something, but her will is very powerful. And
it's vivid. It's vivid.
Yeah,
like vivid. Her desire is vivid or something. Right. Yeah, he was positive about her. Sorry, go ahead.
And he's explaining to this Dothamir Night Sister, which we'll get into in a little bit, like, you know, I'm not sure, if you understand that, you're gonna need to stay away from destroying Ahsoka. That's where it seems like it's going to me. But we'll figure that out in the future episodes. And by the way, I did want to say it's only 8 episodes, so you can be thankful for that. And those who are like kind of not pleasantly surprised, you only have 8 episodes. You do not have to wait till you get to season 3 of Mandalorian and be like, really?
Right.
I'm done.
You don't
with
have
this.
To invest so much of your time and mental synapses. You said synopsis earlier. I just wanted to go ahead and get that. I'm just talking.
Synapses. There you go. What I wanted to say about Syndulla, what's her name again?
Ayla Syndulla.
Okay, there
or
you go.
Kayla.
Hera.
There we go.
Hera, the actress who plays her, man, I actually thought I wasn't going to like her character. Whoever she is, she's a great actor.
She's good.
She did a
Thank
fantastic
you.
Job. I didn't find any problems with her skills, bro. She played the character.
I didn't find any problem with any of them, to be honest with you. I thought the acting is top notch from every single character.
There we go. Right there. Bradley, this is Justin here on Gen X Reverb. Man, I am pleasantly surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised about Ahsoka. I really hope that the next six episodes live up to it. I'm not that excited for all the magical demonism from the Night Sisters coming up. I'm not that excited for that.
That's the problem that I had because I skipped those episodes on Clone Wars.
Yeah. You skip all over that. And I also don't like the fact that she's related to the Night Sisters, but she does not look like
That's
she's from
annoying
that planet.
Me. Yeah. I'm like, no, guys. Okay, anyway, keep
they
going.
They put a thing on her forehead, so now she's just remotely related to that queen witch lady. And also, not a big deal, but I mean, if you really wanted to please Star Wars fans, I mean, you got this lady who's related to the Dathomir people, but you can't bring in, you can't get us three episodes of Count Dooku's apprentice. Can we get her in live action? Maybe not, because if we get her in live action, what's her name?
Oh, Asajj Ventress.
Asajj Ventress, man. Can we see her? That
one of the best.
She is one of the best characters in Star Wars. I think she's
severely underused in the Star Wars universe. But that's it almost seems like it's a generational thing, man. I think. We can't understand the casting here. I want to give props to everybody, by the way, because I'm about to bag on Sabine Wren. I don't need this. Did Star Wars Rebels say that Ahsoka trained Sabine Wren to be a Jedi?
So you mean you watched the whole thing and they didn't say anything about that?
No, they just made this up in this episode.
Oh,
in this
I'm so
show.
Irritated about that. That makes me mad.
They just skipped over. Yeah.
So she's a Jedi. That gets on my nerves. Anyway.
Yeah,
all right. See,
yeah, now, Ezra Bridger, he's the Jedi.
I tried not to get upset, guys. I tried not to. I really did. But because I was like, well, I don't know if she was a Jedi or not. I'll let that slide. Just let it go. And now that Bradley reports to me that this had nothing to do with it. It's not a callback to anything, unless you listeners can tell us if it's a callback to something that Bradley may have missed. That's not, we don't need everybody to be a Jedi. And this is rant worthy here. I'm on rant mode here.
Rant worthy swag bottoms.
Yes. Swag bottoms, man. I personally, me, Justin, I'm fed up with the Mandalorians. Just get out of here. I'm done with you guys.
Mandalorian lore.
I don't need you guys. You guys take forever to just ride this dumb beast, which is not going to be that spectacular, just so you know. It's not going to be.
When we finally get to season 4.
When we finally get to see
Sam Kreese.
Yeah, when we finally get to see it, it's going to be like, okay, great. We waited this long to see this. And please, listeners, by the way, again, opinion. And correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me if you think they're that special. They're not. They're not that special. They're just these over-glorified bounty hunters that don't do anything but fly through the air. Man, those dudes would be so easy to pick off flying through the air.
TIE fighters. Pew, pew.
Yeah. Anyway. And that's just a side rant. Like, it's like no more Din Djarin, however you pronounce it, and Grogu. They are tired. Get them out of here. But we're not talking about that show. We're talking about Ahsoka, which I personally am pleasantly surprised that this actually was delightful to me. I could take the time to dissect it and bag on it. I just personally have chosen not to do that this time.
You're going to enjoy the ride, like Hidden Brain said. You're going to enjoy the moment. I'm with you on that.
I'm going to enjoy it. And the ship. Oh, man, Ahsoka's ship, bro. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. The Andor's buddy. What's that ship called on Andor?
Oh, okay. So before I tell you the name of the ship, just so you know, that is the best ship in all of Star Wars, period. Hands down.
We've already stated that on previous episodes. That's a fact.
It's called the... I forget what it's called, man. I'm terrible.
And I just showed Melissa, my wife, like the third episode of Andor. She liked it. I just showed it to her. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, there you go. You're actually stating, kind of interweaving into some of the things that I'm thinking about here. I don't need Rebels.
The Fondor.
The Fondor. And I hear we have the Fondor's owner is Luthen?
Luthen. Yep, Luthen.
One of the best characters in all of Star Wars. So deep. So well written and deep. Saw Gerrera. So well written and deep.
All those characters are good in Andor. All of
Andor,
them.
So well written and deep, man. We are on Arcana 5, an unpleasant episode. I mean, Andor is the best Star Wars show, period. Let's just get that out there in the open.
And the numbers say that, though, Bradley. So everybody agrees with you on that.
I'm going to tell you why. And this will help you see why I didn't want us to go back to Lothal. I don't think anybody was asking for Lothal, Ezra, Sabine. I love those guys. We saw Zeb Aurelius in an episode of season 3 of The Mandalorian. That was nice. We got to see Deborah Chow and I believe Dave Filoni. I think Rick Fumiyiwa, they were in that bar. You know, nice little Easter eggs there as Zeb walks up. Nice and good, guys.
Thank that was on you. The Mandalorian. Yeah.
Mandalorian. Yeah. Like, oh, yay, thanks for that Easter egg. But hey, just so you know, though, Zeb is in a rebel uniform. He's flying an X-Wing out there now. He's not inside Rebels. He's in the big Rebels, Home One Rebels. Get this Disney XD stuff out of here. Don't ever go back to Lothal.
Crayola color grading, Kool-Aid Man color grading, Barbie Tonka toy. Get these colors out of here. They are four kids. That's a fact.
It's four kids, and now they're grown up, and I respect that because now their emotions are tugged to that. It's going to be Pavlov's bell, and that's what this is doing. The bell 100%. Rang, and now they are salivating on cue, and it's going to start turning out money. I enjoy that that's what Disney does, but this is Stonehenge, man. The writing of Ahsoka, the font, the sound of the theme music at the end, the connecting to the galaxies.
Music.
It's Stonehenge on Lothal. I don't like that. That's not Star Wars.
Okay, so Stonehenge.
Just like druids and yes. Mystery and stones. And I love the sound effects of her going into that temple to get that map and all that good stuff. But in of itself, great. But no more Lothal, no more Rebels. Please,
yeah. Get us off Lothal. And I hope the people who are making it, I think they understand that. Let's get away from Lothal. I think they know that for episode 3.
I think we're going to be there for a while, man. I think they are going to play this out because we still have that Jedi Temple on Lothal. And remember, Ezra Bridger and Thrawn are over there because of the wolves of Lothal. So it's like, you guys are going to seriously add more to the Star Wars lore, all this.
Wait a minute. Wait. See, I'm confused. Sorry. Just let's clear this up real quick so we can move on. Ezra Bridger and this other guy are where?
They're in a completely different galaxy, far, far away. You saw that with the...
The Wayfinder.
That thing, yeah.
No. We're going to call it a Wayfinder. They're making it too complex. Clearly from episode 9. Like, no, you guys are complexifying this. That's a Wayfinder. I was half asleep looking at the... I was half asleep looking at the credits and I was like, bro, that's the map. That's the Wayfinder map.
There you go. Right. So that goes, basically they're tying that into the cartoon. And that, so it's good, but I don't like it because Andor took something that we didn't even know about. We knew about how the rebellion began, but they're giving us depth. This show is trying to give us depth and I think they may pull it off. So far, I just, of my own opinion, it's just taste and flavor. I don't like the rock and roll and the just rebel. Like, okay, settle down with all that. I'm gonna need you, for one thing, Sabine Wren, to stop progressing the plot with stupid decisions. I hate that. Ahsoka told you don't take the map. Okay, take it. And that progresses the plot. Like,
happened in episode 1, the one I was just like,
yeah, you knocked out, man. And so, of course, she takes the map. And that's why Baylan. Gets it.
I saw how he got it. I saw how his apprentice came. And I honestly thought that that's exactly what Star Wars fans are looking for is that. Let's talk about the lightsaber battling. Good job from both women.
9 out of 10. Yeah, I'll give that 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10? For them,
it was clunky.
It was clunky. They, I can't give it a 9. It was clunky.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice.
Yeah, no, I can't give it a 9. I got to be honest. That out of 10 looks...
The cinematography was 10 out of 10. That's what I'm saying.
Cinematography was perfect, and they had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, yes, they didn't do good.
They did some.
They didn't do well.
Yeah. Natural looks is 90% of the battle. That was... They won that. Both of them.
And you mean specifically two pretty women fighting with sabers?
That's what all of these Gen Z dudes want to see, bro.
Fan service. Thank you. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. Okay, keep going.
And that's let's go put this in DeviantArt. Okay, get that out of here. yeah. So, well, I'm going to have to edit that out. So anyway.
No. It's that's a popular website on which people understand that there's guys out there and young ladies out there drawing stuff that it's called DeviantArt for a reason.
So right.
Do your thing. Keep going.
Okay. So I thought they did a really good job. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Ivana Sakhano. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Forgive me, please. I know you listen to the podcast. You used to, at least when we were on the air, Ivana. So you, Ivana, look like a young, you may be the younger sister of Scarlett Johansson. So I said it, and if you don't agree with that, well, too bad, because that's what I think every time I see her. And so she is perfect for that part. Her facial expressions are perfect. She doesn't even have to
talk. I thought she was cast very well.
And her face says it all. Like, I am going to ruin your life with my lightsaber.
I think her, just so I can interject, her and Brayden do a good job of showing their conflict. Her especially, she's conflicted. It's clear.
Yeah.
And her character, Shin Hatai, she's conflicted. She keeps looking back at him while he's dialoguing with What's-Her-Face and yada, yada, yada. Keep going. Sorry.
She's, I did catch that a couple of times. She's almost wondering, like, Master, how dare you let this crazy witch tell you what to do? I think that's what she's thinking. And so there's a plot they may be developing there from her. Because now he's interested in power, as he clearly said at the end of episode 2. He's interested in power, like they all are, even though he's not a Sith, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Jedi for hire. I think that's how he's explained. But he's not a Jedi, though. That's the thing. He's like, I'm not a Jedi. But he's partial to the Jedi. Anyway, moving on. Let's see what else we can talk about here.
Can I tell you real quick, just so you know, there's some Easter eggs in here that we went over. You talked about Ahsoka's ship. The Fondor is the best ship. This is Mace Windu's ship, if you remember from Clone Wars. So it's a callback.
No way.
Mace Windu used this with Dooku on that new thing on Disney Plus.
Oh, he sure did. You are 100%.
Go to that planet. Bradley, this is the same ship.
My brain was hurting, I was like, man, where is this ship from? I know that's where it is.
Okay. And then also don't forget, there's an episode of Clone Wars where the younglings are being taught how to get their lightsaber. That's where Hu Yang comes in. So exact same shape and everything of that droid, Hu Yang. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's him. Yep.
So that's a cool callback. And also I think the voice actor who plays him, good job. Wonderful job.
He's fantastic. And by the way, is he full CG?
No, he's clanky in some parts. And then when it counts, he's fully CGI.
Okay.
He's clanky at the first, when she first sees him in the ship. That's live animatronics. You could tell how plasticky he looks.
I, again, viewing it the way I was viewing it this time around, I just really tried not to dive deep. I just was like, hey, they did a pretty good job on this guy.
I was awake. When you're awake, you notice everything. I noticed that. But let's give credit to the writers, though. Okay, if anything, if you're listening to the podcast still, don't let what I said about Lothal and my hatred of Rebels
my hatred.
This show, the writing is really well done. Hu Yang's lines, him and Sabine Wren.
That scene in particular, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, when she fully heals. He's basically saying, stop feeling sorry for yourself. And so for real world situations, while you actually do need to have people take pity on you, that is necessary. We do need to take pity on people. He's basically saying the majority of people out there they're not going to take pity on you. and your past, there's no way you can change it. Even as a droid, he can't go back in time.
You paid attention to it differently than me. I think he was basically just saying, Sabine Wren, you're getting in your own way. You're the blame.
He was saying both things, I think. He was saying both,
yeah,
and then 3 or 4 or 30 other things that the podcast listeners, they all heard something too. But generally speaking, yeah, you're getting in your own way. If we want to boil it down, yeah.
No. I think you're right too. I probably just didn't hear that. If I listen to it again, I'm sure I'll hear that and multiple things like you said. But there you go, right? Isn't that a testament of good writing? Where you're hearing multiple messages?
Bro, we hear our own truth, bro. We hear it.
Bro.
When wisdom is spoken, we hear our own truth, bro.
Now here goes something that I said to Tracy. And at first she was like, what are you talking about? But I said, no, hear me out. Hear me out. I had to pull a can on her. I was like, hear me out, honey. Just real quick.
Ken, shout out, bro. Okay, we got to talk about Ken and Mark in just a second, man.
All right, man. Load your weapons.
The planet that, Corellia, which was a nice call-in to Solo and, basically where all the Millennial Falcons are manufactured on Corellia.
Okay, look, we both interrupt each other all the time, okay? For the record, I'm interrupting you right now. Man, don't you wish Solo and Kira had a good sunny day like that?
Yeah, it was all drizzly and dogs with slime coming out of their mouth. Let's get out of here.
Keep going.
Let's get off this planet. No wonder you wanted off that planet so bad. Corellia was a nice texture. Whatever word you used earlier, where they build and they make it thick and like it's like enjoyable because they're adding to something that you've already seen before. Mm-hmm. Syndulla, Hera, that's where we get introduced to Chopper. Yeah, he didn't do a bad job. They didn't overdo it with that moron. Mm-hmm. But he's
for the kids.
No, he's for the kids for sure. But I'm just saying, Chopper, if he was a human being, he would be the belligerent little troll that sits at the bar. I don't know, man. He just would be like, dude, what? What'd you say?
He'd be the Jawa.
The little Yeah. Chopper just needs to chill, man. Just chill, Chopper. But that's the thing. Now, Chopper has us talking about him. So he's doing his job.
He's done his job. The writers did their job. And also gravity did not do its job while Chopper was searching for his things.
I was like, bro, he has a toolbox full of stuff that's not falling out of this ship. And they're not even outside of the atmosphere. What is happening? See, again, then I had to reel myself back in. Justin, don't pay attention to that, bro. Just where is the plot advancing? Yes, it is. Because while Hera and him are up in the getting ready to go out of the atmosphere and drop that tracker on the other ship, we have some action that we need happening down there. But before we get into the action, I just wanted to say that I like the actor that played the guy that was like the foreman of the area.
Peter Jacobson.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of a Adrian Monk, Tony Shalhoub a little bit. And I liked his acting. He was a good actor.
I thought he was Mozzie from White Collar. I could be wrong.
Mozzie. I think he had a little spice of Mozzie. I think he had a dash of Adrian Monk and a frizzle frazzle of Mozzie from
frizzle frazzle.
I don't know what else to say, man.
a little frizzle.
A sprig. A broken off sprig of Mozzie. Mozzie. Yeah, and that was a great show from White Collar. Anyway, forget the real actor's name. Yeah, his real name, I should say. Mozzie's his character. Anyway, going back to this, Ahsoka, Rosario Dawson, I think we're going to differ in opinions here, Bradley. Rosario Dawson got zesty. I'm going to use a Bradley word.
Rosario got zesty.
Ahsoka played by Rosario Dawson. First of all, when questioning the official inside the room, the little command unit room, her force... Spidey senses started kicking in, and she was looking around like, okay, are you guys about to get crazy? And then the Empire guys started getting crazy, and Ahsoka was like, time to get zesty.
Man, that C-3PO, that red C-3PO unit spilled the beans, man. Oh, yeah, there was a droid here just yesterday. Here's exactly what we want to know. And the droid was like, okay, I've got that information. I'm going to explain it to you in as much detail as I can possibly muster. Here we go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Empire guys, they thought they were going to get best Ahsoka. And so now outside, below, Ahsoka is fighting with that Dark Force user and a droid, which I love the fact that they keep using these droids that are basically like callbacks to the droids from episode episode two,
Attack of the Clones, because that was the guard of General Grievous. Yes, the exact Grievous sound effect.
Yes, and I love those droids. I'm partial to them. So you know what's funny? As much as we make fun of these Sabine people and you know, purple haired whiny bandicoots like what's his name, Ezra Bridger, we make fun of them, right? It's like, it's so annoying, bro. They're pleasing us too. Hey man, look at those droids, bro. They're just like, see, they're trying. Star Wars has the hardest job. They got a bunch of nutcases out there to please. And that's all of us.
This is truth.
All of us.
And yeah, true.
Head jobs, man. We're all out here. Hey, where's our Lothal cat?
I mean, I don't think a lot like me and you.
We're
Ken and Mark,
certainly
we're
not asking for Lothal cats. Is that what you call them? Lothal cats?
Lothal cats, right? And that was in the Mandalorian, all that stuff. We don't need Easter eggs, but I don't think we're taking it beyond podcasting about it. We're not going on Facebook forums and taking up
not at all
vast amounts of our day ranting about why things should be this way and that way. Look, everything I said before.
That's good counsel for me, man. I'll take it.
Just cut to scene. Justin is actually ranting for 300 years on Facebook forum. Yeah. Don't waste your time. It is what it is, dude. They're in the business to make money. I thought the two shows were great. My hot takes at the beginning were just straight up, this is what I felt. I'm looking at a thumbnail of Sabine Wren on this speeder bike, a colorful, artsy, great look.
Way too
I get
colorful.
Her character. It's good. No, it's good. I get it.
No. Just in my opinion, I had that bike, it would not have that color scheme. It would have my color scheme. Yeah.
And whoever is listening to this podcast right now, probably when they hear you say that, they go, yeah, but see, that appeals to me. That's what I would do with my speeder bike. And I'm, you know, Avon or Galilee might look at this and be like, oh, cool.
My kids.
I wanna be.
That's who he's talking about. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Justin's kids. Little girls everywhere are going to be buying, I forget what podcast.
They're going to be buying her wigs and wearing them. They're probably, those things are going to sell, bro, at Galaxy's Edge. What's her name again? Hera?
I am laughing so hard, but you are 100% accurate. You're not telling a lie at all.
They're going to sell both of them. They're going to sell both. They're going to sell the Twi'lek, and then they're going to sell, what's the girl's name again? I keep forgetting her name.
Sabine Wren.
Sabine. They're going to sell the long-haired version of Sabine Wren, and then they're going to sell the cutoff. Get them both.
And her regular clothes from Lothal, and then also, yeah, the Mandalorian. Yeah, basically all versions. Yep. Yeah. You can't fault them. That's what they're here to do, man. If Transformers can do it, Star Wars definitely has my permission to do it.
Yeah.
Please, sell more toys.
Okay. We can just go ahead and finish this off. What other thoughts do you have here, man? Let me give the complete opinion of Justin here. I'm definitely not disappointed. I'm not disappointed. I thought I was going to be, but then I just tried not to be. And I'm not going to look at all the little small details. I wish certain things wouldn't be the way they are, but you can't have everything exactly the way you want. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a group thing, you know, with everybody, millions of people being connected to it, you know?
Right. I think you nailed it. Yeah. We wouldn't even be talking about this from this perspective if we didn't have Star Wars when we were little 6-7-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
We got what we got back then, and we liked it.
Where's our sand crawlers, bro?
Right, exactly. We just took it as it was, and it was part of our childhood. So, yeah, that was us. And so anybody who likes Rebels and Lothal and all that stuff, that's part of their childhood when they were 10. Because from my perspective as a 44-year-old, I'm like, dude, you were 10 like 2 seconds ago. That was a million years ago for them. So now Disney, they're doing it just right. Scientifically, they're pulling out the juices in their brains and getting them to get invested in it. So, yeah, you do have that perspective of this was an intellectual property that did not exist at one point in time, you know, before us. 77
is when it came out. Nope, 77.
77, yeah. So that's when the whole thing began. We could look back and look at a lot of stuff like Return of the Jedi. I'm like, there's so much dumb stuff in here, man, but we still like it because it is what it is.
It has stewed over time. It has sat in the stew and it works. It tastes good now.
Whereas with this, this is now people dreaming about Star Wars and saying, okay, so this is what I would like. That's the problem. That's where everybody branches off. It's like, oh, I wanted them to do this and they didn't. So that's where we start to have what you're talking about. You can't please everybody. So let them write the stories as they want.
However, and Bradley, I actually feel like they did please the Rebel people. That's what I feel
100%.
I also feel like the Rebel people would agree with me. You Gen Zers, I think you would agree with me that you guys are not let down. You guys are actually very well pleased by this. And I say that to say this. How come they couldn't do that with Luke Skywalker, man?
Yeah. They learned their lesson.
Oh, so they learned. It's after they learned. Now they're giving the people what they want now. Okay.
Yeah. I see. I mean, think about who tried to appease us was the same guys who wrote this show. Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau. The same guys who did us the service of bringing Luke Skywalker back to actually be a man. Be a man. He was a Jedi.
Instead of a drunken hobo, man.
Come on. Yeah. Ray, where do you think I came to this island for?
Getting punked by Ray, bro. Anyway, moving on. Go ahead. You come to my island?
Right. And so here's another problem that I have. And it's not that big of a problem, but it kind of is. It's just like, guys, get the lore out of here. Get all the extra lore. Stop adding extra bits and pieces to the story, because in our minds, we're in so many different parts of the timeline. It's like, wait, we just did Rise of Skywalker. Can we just go to the next part after this, please?
100.
We're done.
I am so done with this part of the universe, me personally. But again, the reason why I'm just giving it a chance, it's entertainment. And yeah, no. If I expect that, it's not, no. Mm-mm. I'm not even going to give Disney the opportunity to please me with that. They're not going to do it. They're not going to get out of this part of the galaxy. Like, get out of here. Take one of those wayfinders and get as far away from this part of the galaxy as you can and start there.
Interestingly enough, what you just said is so ironic, because that's exactly what they're doing with that wayfinder. They're going to a completely different galaxy, literally. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with that. Because that was the whole point of that wayfinder, is what you keep calling it, that little ball.
Well, what else is it called? It looks exactly like the same thing that's in all the little episodes. And
no, it doesn't. The wayfinders.
Oh, they're not round. They're triangular. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, it's still a wayfinder. And the listeners, they understand that it is still a wayfinder.
Yeah.
That's how you get there.
Don't apologize for that. We get it. We get the point. But I think we've pretty much dismantled how we feel about it. It's a good show. I think they did a lot of stuff. Correct. I just, please, man, no saccharine, sugary, emotional stuff. You know, it just don't get too emo. I think that's what I've been saying. They're getting too emo with Sabine Wren. Like, stop with the woe is me. And, you know, I got to find Ezra.
So oh my goodness. You know, we don't want to hear it. And I hate to be toxically positive, but I will be toxic positivity toward that. Like, stop. Just, I don't want to hear it. Just have a good day. Get moving. Let's go. Jetpack off into the sky.
Right. And by the way, listeners, Justin just posited that actual term toxic positivity just recently. And I didn't get it correct. I thought toxic positivity. He put this in our cousin chat. And so I began to wrongly explain it as the people who are just completely positive all the time. You know, even when stuff goes wrong. Like, oh, well, yeah, you did a good job. No, he didn't. He failed his test, honey. Oh, no, but he's doing good. No, you can't constantly give these kids rewards when they make mistakes. That's how they learn that they don't have to try. I thought that was toxic positivity. Justin has apprised me that toxic positivity is what I call kind of sarcasm. kind of, you know, kick rocks, you know, get this out of my face. Really, I guess toxic positivity is when you don't want to deal with negative emotions. So, yeah, I'm a toxic positivist till the end. I don't even like negative sounding music, like whiny baby R&B and whatnot. So yeah.
And who does? Out of all the listeners out there, all the people on the planet, who likes negative music? Let me tell you, most people.
I was about to say, there's a whole industry about crying.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Listen to some happy music, folks. Listen to some positive sounding music, even if it doesn't have words, and see how much better you feel. Don't wallow in your emotions with music. because you'll just stay there for a while if you want to. But if that's what you want to do, go ahead. Go ahead and be a Sabine Wren. Or what character can we be other than Sabine Wren? Hey, here's a good character. Be
not Jar Jar Binks. He's positive. But he's bumbling. Go ahead. Sorry.
Be Ahsoka. Stay on target. Get the job done. Get after it. I mean, do you think she has what's her character flaw?
Dude, like I said at the beginning, man, her character flaw is having gotten shot in the neck with a dart full of Valium, man. Is she awake? I don't understand Rosario Dawson's take on Ahsoka. Like, hey, I want to give her like a nice little tap on her cheek. Like, hey, Ahsoka, wake up. Like, where are you? What are you looking at? And that seems to be Rosario Dawson's take on Ahsoka is tilt your head to the left and narrow your eyes.
I got you.
Oh, I'm falling asleep. Wait, wake up. Look at the camera a little bit. Come over here and look at this. It's just like, nah, I did not. This is not what I signed up for. Dave Filoni, like you hear Tracy sneezing. What?
I'm not trying to laugh at Tracy sneezing. She's not sick, is she?
No.
Okay, she's caught a whiff of some pollen or something, man.
She got a whiff of my negativity.
Yep. I'm allergic to that.
It is what it is, bro. You, like you said, you can't please everybody. And to your point, you could choose Ahsoka Tano if you want to. I would say choose, is there anybody bubbly in the Star Wars universe?
Okay, let's get somebody bubbly. Ready? He's the best Jedi that ever existed that they're never, ever going to bring back and just be like, dude, be like him. He's the Native American Jedi. That was with Obi-Wan. He's the best one. Yeah. Like, Obi-Wan, shut up. Let's go, man. Stop complaining about everything. I forget his name, but he's the best Jedi. He's like one of the best Jedis, I should say.
He was like a gray Jedi. He didn't really believe what the Jedi Order said and whatnot. Yeah, man. Don't be a Jedi, though, man. Jedi.
Yeah. Jedi are actually not that cool. Lightsaber wielding is cool. That's it. They're force powers. And I'm being serious, listeners. They're not that cool. It's like, dude, you guys are weird. This is not necessary for all this.
Mace.
And you guys went down.
You want to come over for some barbecue, Mace? Man, we're going to have a good time and get to know one another.
We don't have good times.
I'm afraid I might actually start to like you. And I can't do that.
I can't do that. I'm a Jedi.
Jedi Order.
Yes, against the code. Who made this code up? Just some drunk Jedi back in the day. They just came up with it.
Dude, we just stumbled upon that. Jedi are not cool, man.
They're not cool. I've been thinking that for a while. To be around. Yeah, they're not enjoyable. They're not cool. They only look cool. They look cool, but they are not cool. It's just
actually, it's funny. Now that you mention it, dude, I think Rey is the only Jedi that's actually joyful. Think about that.
Stop crying about everything, though. That's what I need her to do.
Stop whining. Okay, yeah. We'll say, so same as Luke. Whiny, cry, same as Ezra Bridger. But was Luke ever... Yeah, Luke's been joyful. But Anakin...
Nope. I've only mentioned the only one. You can't find any other Jedi other than the little kid Jedis that went to the ice planet with Ahsoka and Yoda. Other than them... Gunji, what's his name? Gunji?
Gunji.
The little Wookie. I think he was good. He was joyful. He was like, he was joyful. He got his saber quick. He got his crystal. He was like, I'm good.
Gunji.
Gunji. I think that's his name. And then, so they're positive when they're young. Yeah, we love this.
I was about to say, because little Snips, Ahsoka, she was super happy.
Yeah,
she was a little kid.
And I don't like, if you're a good writer, obviously your arc taking, you have to take the arc, you have to move it along. You can't have her be the same spicy, bouncy little kid that she was when she first was, when she was Snips.
Got to take their joy away. And you know why? It's because people have their joy taken away today. I think seriously, psychologically, therapeutically speaking, therapists would even agree with me that this is why this resonates with people, is because you have to have that angstiness the majority of people have. People have miserable lives, man. And I think that's why that scene was filmed the way it is, her rolling her speeder bike off into the distance.
You're talking about, again, the other character.
Sabine Wren.
Sabine Wren. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm.
No. You don't apologize. My bad for skipping over to Sabine. Dude, I'm just saying. I don't like... Yeah, I guess I am a toxic positivist.
Well, Bradley, we're both toxically positive, and that's the thing. Once you recognize the problem, now you can work on it. Folks, we hope that's the lesson you can learn. If you have a personality flaw, whatever it is, just if you go ahead and recognize what it is, just say what it is and say, okay, now I can just be a little more empathetic, even though I truly in my heart don't care how that person feels. But I'm just kidding. That's not true. But be empathetic. You know, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm still going to have a good day, even though you're not having a good day. I'm going to put
listeners, on this episode of GXR Therapy, we love you.
Get some Thalo Blue, some Prussian White. Now, if you get some ochre, some yellow ochre, and we're going to paint a happy little Millennium Falcon here. And we're going to...
That would be a cool skit, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Bob Ross here with Star Wars. Everybody, me and Bradley, we could continue to podcast probably till 5 o'clock. Yeah, we're going to be done here. So just some cleanup here, some episode cleanup or podcast cleanup. What do you call it? Housekeeping. I said cleanup. Housekeeping. We want to give a shout out to Mark Chambers, Cousin Mark, and Cousin Kenny Booth. They're not able to make it on this episode. I hope Kenny is pleasantly surprised with my takes. I think he thought I was going to go all the way in on Ahsoka because I'm pleasantly surprised with the show. So, Kenny, go ahead and get on the next episode and give us your thoughts.
Yeah.
And feel free to come record with just you and Mark if that's what you guys want to do at some point. Shout out to Mark. He's dealing with sickness right now. Mark, we're hoping the best for you and the family, little cousins and wifey. So get better, man.
And while we're giving shout outs, man, I want to give a shout out to my my little pal Jumgar, man. He's a Jawa. He's a hermit Jawa that lives in Beggar's Canyon on Tatooine.
Beggars.
Little Jumgar, man. I just want to give a shout out to him because he's always been in my corner, man, when I'm too toxically positive.
No, yeah, that's good. No, give a shout out to him, man. Is that the guy that always comes out every Boonta Eve? He comes out riding Womp Rats. He has like 4 Womp Rats that he rides out of into town. I've seen him before.
Benevolent Jawa. He goes against the Jawa creed, actually. He doesn't steal. He takes what he has and he gives to people every Boonta Eve.
And he's a nudist. Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, you don't want to see Jumgar. All right, Jumgar, this is a shout out to you, man. I thank you for listening to every single episode of GXR.
Jumgar the Jawa. Dude, we got to make him into a character. Jumgar the Jawa. Okay, cool. I like that, Brad. Thanks for tuning in to Gen X Reverb, and thanks for being exercising patience with us. Wink, wink. And we look forward to podcasting again. Please check us out on Facebook. We'll start posting right away. Anything else you want to say, Brad?
Yeah. Shout out to my real life cats that look pleasant. That's it.
Not the low-fall cats. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's interesting how they look. Positive vibes, man. Positive vibes.